As we enter into the last couple weeks of the church calendar, the scriptures point us now to the end of the world, to the end of time. And I think it's important that we understand the biblical concept of time and eternity, because we've kind of lost a sense of it. And because of that, some of the most fundamental doctrines of the faith don't make as much sense as they should, particularly some that come up in the readings today. And so I want to take a couple of moments to help us to grasp what is the biblical concept of time and of eternity. And then with that mindset, to go through some of these scripture passages and to see what truths, what deep truths are being manifested here. So if we look at the concept of time, this is one of those concepts that philosophers and theologians and scientists have struggled with for millennia, to try to grasp what is time, what is eternity. And in the biblical mindset, time is something that is only in the created world. That is, before the creation of the world, there was no time. And once creation has been ended, there will be no time. That time is something that is creation bound. It's only experienced here, in the midst of creation. And so the danger that we make is when we try to imagine eternity or infinity, what do? We automatically apply time to it, something measurable. And so when we think of eternity, we think of an endless succession of days. Think about an amazing grace, how we sing that, I think it's the last line, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing his praise than when we'd first begun. And you see, we're trying to take what we experience here and apply it to eternity. But it doesn't work. Because the eternal moment is the present moment. It's like a now moment that lasts always. It's just always being in the now. And it blows our mind to try to grasp that. But it's important that we do. The other main concept of the Bible, of the understanding of time, is that it's past, present, and future are all present right now, in this moment. It's simply that the past is mysteriously hidden from us, as is the future. But they're all connected. And you think about, if you remember those old clocks, the wheel clocks, where you'd watch as the time changed, let's say your alarm goes off, 5:59, and you watch the 5 turn to 6, you watch the 5 turn to 0, and the 9 turn to 0. And you can usually see part of the number on top of it and part of the number on the bottom of it. That's the present moment. The light shining on that one number at the center. But there's still, you're experiencing a bit of the past, and sometimes you can even get a sense of what's coming in the future. Or you think about, you pull into a field and you have your headlights on. You're able to see one aspect of the field, but everything else is still interconnected there. And you can think of time as being that light is going across the field. And so in this moment, we see this in its fullness. But it doesn't mean the past and the future aren't in some way mysteriously present to us. So with this mindset of time being this fullness, we enter into these scriptures. And what we just listened to is what's called apocalyptic literature. And you think of the book of Daniel, Joel, Ezekiel, and probably most famous, the New Testament book of Revelation. These are apocalyptic books. Apocalypse is the Greek, which is translated in Latin, revelation, to reveal, to make known. But when we read these, often we're like, this doesn't make known anything. It's confusing. Revelation is the most confusing of the books. There's beasts, there's fire, there's all these things. It's poetic language. It's prophetic language. But it's revealing a very important truth. And that is that everything that is human is coming to an end. That everything that is not God or in God is destined to be destroyed. And with that understanding of time, we read this apocalyptic literature then not as something simply off in the future, but is somehow being experienced right now. That this apocalyptic literature is about right now, what's happening in our world today. That the institutions that we put our trust in are collapsing. that only the things in God will remain. And in that gospel passage, Jesus is using this language. And this is taking place. He's sitting across at the Mount of Olives, looking across the valley to the Temple Mount. And he's just described to the disciples the collapse of the temple, that it's coming. Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, he's telling them. And in some ways, he's predicting what will happen 40 years later. In another way, he's predicting what will happen at the end of the world. But in a third way, he's talking about what is happening now. And he says, the stars will fall from the sky. The sun will be darkened. Now, to us, we don't quite grasp the meaning of this. But if you're in the ancient world, what was the sky to you? It was how you directed yourself. You know, when you're out on the Mediterranean Sea, what did you look to for direction? You look to the sky. In the daytime, you looked to the sun. East, west would give you north and south. In the night, you would look for the stars to find your guidance. When you're walking across the desert, where do you look? To the sky. You always look up to get your direction. And so the Lord is saying, what are you looking to for your direction in this life? Is it God's word? Is it his word in scripture and in tradition? Or are we getting our direction from the universities? Are we getting our moral direction from the media? Are we getting it from government or business? Because Jesus says today, those things are falling. They're collapsing. Everything is passing away. Only my word remains, says the Lord today. And so the apocalyptic literature is for our time, when we understand time in that biblical concept. And then we move to Daniel, that first reading. Daniel has the same theme of stars, but he's talking about the saints. He's talking about those who have died in friendship with God, that are now shining like the stars in the sky, that now continue to give direction to others. And Daniel's, in a sense, asking us a question. When this created time ends and you enter into eternity, what are you going to be? And he gives us, there's only two options, he says. One, you will be like those stars in the firmament. Or two, you will be in everlasting disgrace and horror. But there's no in between. This is a prophetic word for us. That we'll either be a star shining forever, or we'll be in everlasting disgrace and horror, because we did not become what we were created to be. You know, sometimes in our minds we think about hell, and we think, well, how could a good God allow somebody to last in hell? Wouldn't after about 1,000 years he say, wait, this is just too much, come into heaven? Well, we don't understand eternity then. Eternity is not endless time. This life we're using to make ourselves into one thing or the other. But once we pass down a time into eternity, that's what we are. Scripture uses pottery as the image. When you have wet clay, which is this life, you can keep changing it. You can make it better. But if you go into somebody's home and they have a piece of pottery that's been through a kiln and it's all disfigured, you can't ask them, why are you allowing it to be like that? Why don't you fix it? It is what it is. Once we pass from time into eternity, we are what we are. It is this life only that we can change. We can turn to the Lord. And so the sense of Christianity is not that we're just here to try to do good and to be kind. We're making ourselves what we are for eternity. And a Christianity has lost this sense of the grandeur of the epic, of the destinies that are at stake in our lives, at the importance of the choices we make every day. It's a Christianity that has lost its sense. Because it's lost the sense of what time and eternity are. And so today we have also this reading from Hebrews, where we talk about this one sacrifice. And again, if we understand time in the sense of its fullness, we can say it's going to be present in a few moments. Think about the Passover. So the Passover with the Jewish people, because of their understanding of time, they didn't think of it as some event that existed in the past. It was an event that exists in the past. It hasn't passed away. It's eternal. And so every Passover, the youngest child asks the father, "Father, why is this night different from any other night?" And the father responds, "Because on this night, the Lord led us out of Egypt. Not on that night back in history, but on this night. Because the ritual of the liturgy makes present that event. Because it hasn't faded away in that understanding of time." And so we understand then why when we come to the Eucharist, this isn't a prayer gathering. We're coming to the foot of Calvary. This event has not passed away. It's an event that we are experiencing at the Mass. And that's why the Mass is so different than any other kind of religious service. Because we are in the presence of the sacrifice of Calvary itself. That sense of the glory and the wonder and the awe that Christianity bears to us. And so today the Lord reminds us that everything that's not in God is in collapse. That it is passing away. And that this life is about determining who we are forever. And today we have with us Michelle Corcoran, who has come to an understanding that all is destined to collapse, that only God remains, and that we are now fashioning our eternal destiny, and that the Catholic Church gives her access to the events of our Lord's life, death, and resurrection. And so she chooses to take this step in coming into the faith. And so today we gather with her and we pray for her, and we ask that the Lord bless her on this journey by which we come into true contact with Jesus Christ and his sacraments.